and welcome to Charlie Foxtrot, a Stargate Universe podcast. I'm Boom.
I'm Cetra.
And today is going to be one of the biggest Charlie Foxtrots. Maybe not the biggest of the entire series, but they are a hell of a clusterfuck right now.
Holy shit. Yeah, it's quite a mess.
And it's a part one, so you know it's a definite clusterfuck.
Yeah, it's... Oh...
And they had to have a lead-up episode, so they couldn't even get the two-parter, like, cliffhanger shit in. They had to have, like, a lead-in.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this could be Incursion Parts 1, 2, and 3. They just didn't want to give away the Incursion part with the title of last episode.
I suppose that's true. But, I mean, let's think about it. Next series, like, the first episode would be also Incursion.
Yeah.
Part 4, in my opinion, or more like decursion, I guess.
Yeah. Oy.
And then it's just Star Trek Voyager, except it's not.
And they were super like, oh, not. I mean, if it's Star Trek Voyager, it's been Star Trek Voyager all along.
Well, no, I'm saying it would be Star Trek Voyager, because with the Lucian Alliance on board, it's like the McKee and the Federation having to work together. Yeah. Oh, except for they decide to kill off almost all the Lucian Alliance pretty quickly.
Oh, well...
Oh, that's that problem solved. So I'm like, that was the best part of Voyager, guys.
Yeah.
Anyways, Incursion. Let's actually talk from the beginning. We have Telford dying.
Yeah, I mean, we picked up basically exactly where we were. There's some really interesting dynamics as young as they're all watching Telford in Rush's body die.
Right.
And... like, the fact that, like, Scott breaks and tries to stop it, and Greer's the one that pushes him back.
Right.
The fact that Ray tries to stop it, and Brody listens to Young, you know, belaying her orders.
It's kind of like Brody and Scott switch places.
Yeah, it's very odd.
I wondered if it was just because he still knew he was in control, but he let Telford and Rush's body completely get knocked out.
So yeah.
My other curiosity is maybe he kind of, because he is so fucking smart, even though it's never said in the show, he always seems to know what's going on in the background. I think Brody knew about the brainwashing, and so that's why he was trusting Young.
And that's what I was going to say, is it possible that Young had talked to him about it, or is Brody just that fucking smart? Probably Brody's just that fucking smart.
I'm going to say Brody's that fucking smart, because so far, without anyone telling him anything, he's known what Rush's secret plans are. He's known, he just always seems to know.
Yeah. Adam Brody Appreciation Society.
Yay, Brody! Just to prove that nothing is going well, Rush falls down.
Yeah.
And Kiva, being Kiva, is like, oh, I don't think the seizure is real. So she, like, cuts his hand.
As we discussed last time, like, Kiva really is just, like, a generic bad guy trope.
But she says a lot of cool things in this episode that I really like. Like, where she's like, is it true he can vent the air? And he goes, yeah, it's true. And she's like, well, he should have done it sooner.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, badass bitch.
It's true. It's true.
She has some really good baddie one-liners.
Yeah, I just... Anyway.
I bet we would have liked her more if she survived and she had to, like, become Chakotay.
That's, you know, you're probably completely correct.
Oh my god, I would have loved it if she was Chakotay. Like, because then it would take a lot of that young Rush dynamic that we're kind of getting bored of at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's somebody else for them to fight against. There's a new person in power. We get to see how Rey reacts against another woman in power. Anyway.
And she would be a military power, which is a totally different dynamic with Young.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe she would end up on Young's side of a lot of debates. And
or maybe she'd end up on Rush's. Who knows? Who knows? But we never get it. So anyways, Young watches Rush die pretty dispassionately.
Yeah.
And
like,
I think
Rey looks super distraught.
I think she looks at him like... She knows now that Young is exactly the person she thought he was. He was exactly the person that she threw the coup against.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Young calls for Brody and does CPR.
It bothered me a little that he's doing chest compressions when wouldn't rescue breaths be more important?
I felt the same way.
But because, I don't know.
Yeah, about... kickstarting the heart doesn't make any sense if there's no oxygen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The heart would keep trying to beat to the last moment.
Right.
It would be racing and racing to try and get every bit of blood or every bit of oxygen that's in the existing blood.
Right.
To the body. It's really the lungs you gotta get. But, I mean, then we'd have Young kissing Telford and that would be weird. So,
not it wouldn't be weird.
That's somebody's fanfic, I'm sure.
Well, then Telford wakes up. He's like, "You're in danger."
Yeah.
Which is the only time I really think that maybe. I mean, I always think it's super suspicious that they just are like, "Okay, Telford's no longer brainwashed. Cool."
Yeah.
But I mean, because he's so quick with it.
Yeah, he has a conversation with Young, and Young is like, "Oh, brainwashing explains why you were such an asshole, David." And I'm like,
right.
If you guys knew each other that well, and you thought he was behaving abnormally, why didn't you believe Rush about the being a double agent? Why didn't you bring that information to the higher-ups sooner?
You know, I had that same note. I felt that Young and Telford's relationship was much more tender, much more bromancy than it was ever implied before.
Yeah.
Like, I know supposedly Telford became more of a dick, and that's what broke up their friendship.
But why wouldn't Young have at any point asked about that? Like, why wasn't there a point in episode 5 or 6 where Young was like, "Whoa,
you
David.
You know, we used to be besties." Like, yeah.
We're the same rank. We went to all the same, you know, command school together. Like,
you know,
why are you
wife,
throwing
what the
this
fuck
fit?
Are you doing?
You know how important my authority is on this ship. Why are you undermining it?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, if that just that single line would have made this
and,
line.
And then it could have been Telford, like, throwing back in his face, like, "You're compromised and you weren't supposed to be here." You know.
Right. But, I mean, that line would have kept an emotional continuity.
Exactly.
Right now, it feels like we just jumped off a precipice.
Oh, we just decided that Telford was brainwashed, so let's fix him. Like.
Right. Right.
Also, for some reason, in my memory, I remembered it being, like, when he woke up and was like, "Lucian Alliance is coming," I thought that was Rush. I thought there was some, like, break in stones, but there's not. It goes all the way to the brink of death without...
Unless they just didn't show us that was Rush. No, it had to have been Telford because they showed us Lou Diamond Phillips. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. And they're very consistent about that, at least.
That would have been really cool if they showed Rush's body...
Just for a freaking second.
But you didn't know if it was just them making sure you understood it was Telford in Rush's body or if it was Rush. Yeah. Ooh, that'd be so cool.
If they next leveled us.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. Damn it. Damn it, them. Anyways, well, my next note is I'm so confused about Young and Telford's relationship.
Yeah.
Young is like, "Oh, shit. Telford is not brainwashed anymore, and he's telling us the Lucian Alliance are coming. Get prepared, everyone."
Yeah, there's some big, like, you know, watching all the military run around, and,
Do you notice that all the civilians are radioing Brody?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's right, the guy with the master's degree is in control when Rush is gone.
Yeah.
Brody Appreciation Society!
Brody, in charge of science when Rush is not there.
Dude, if Rush died, I'd still watch this show because Brody's amazing.
Yeah, now I would. but it took, like, you know, viewing 5 for that to happen.
Right? I'm only on my 3rd rewatch.
there is this weird moment where Telford is like, "Young, you have to send me back. You have to get, you know... Rush back here."
Yeah, this moment pisses me off.
And Young is like, "No.
We have to make sure you're okay, buddy."
Yeah, and I'm like, fuck you! Like,
well, what upsets me about it is if they had switched then, there is a good chance that Rush wouldn't have fixed the system in
time.
Oh,
yeah, and it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Telford could have gone back to faking it, right? Telford could have gone, you know, "Shit, they figured it out. They cut the connection.
Right.
I'm sorry." And maybe tried to, you know... pretend he could remember some of Rush's memories or whatever, like...
Or just sabotage it there and kill everybody.
Also...
Because we know he feels bad about all the deaths that were at his hand.
Yeah.
I would see him as self-sacrificial.
Yeah. I don't know. Is TJ noticeably more pregnant in this episode than she was last episode?
Yeah, because that's how real-life pregnancy works.
Well, it's literally been 12 minutes.
I know.
Like...
But in real life, it's been, like, 2 months. Anyways, Ray talks to Young. Oh, sorry. I have to pick the... Okay. First of all, I like that Earth is preparing as well, but I like when Young is briefing everyone, you realize just how skeleton that crew really is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no one in that room.
Yep. It's really minimal and, like...
They're all wearing khakis. Yeah. And collared shirts.
Even with all the civilians, assuming that they all could do useful jobs on the ship, right. They are a tiny crew for this ship.
Right. And I just like that, a little attention to detail.
Yeah.
Ray talks to Young. Young dismisses her, as he always does.
As usual, yeah.
But she asks the right questions, like, why the fuck do you trust Telford? You have no idea.
Yeah.
And like, he's telling the truth.
Suddenly, he says his brainwashing is done. Like... And not only that, but, like, after Telford tried all these different things to be like, you know, oh, you'll never beat us, murmur, murmur, ma.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you now think that, oh, well, it's just traitor Telford lying to me?
Right. I mean, Rush has actually never done any... Okay, that's not true. Rush has done things, but he was really provoked. But yeah. Before, when Young wasn't trusting Rush, he hadn't really done anything.
But I think we have to chalk it up to natural charisma. Like, Telford right. is much more charismatic, and Rush always seems shifty. So. Yeah.
The only person who seems to like Rush is Brody, and one out of 40 people is not a good sign. No,
Eli really wanted to like Rush until Rush was like, sometimes lies are important, child.
Ugh. Poor Eli. I was actually thinking today how much more I would like Eli's arc, and this is how I like his arc, is if he was actually Rush's grad student.
Oh.
Like, I still feel like he would be an important, like, yeah. everyman character that way.
If Eli had been on Icarus already, like, working with Rush, but...
Or working with Rush back on Earth and not realizing why his professor kept leaving for large stints at a time, and then Rush is like, fuck it, I need to bring him over. And so he brings him over. Like, I would have...
Yeah, really... and we would have still had Eli and Chloe being, you know, the new people to this craziness and all of that.
Right. And then his relationship with Rush would have the strain that is believable, you know? I don't know. I need to stop trying to rewrite Stargate Universe. I still love the show. It's just that I really hate his introduction to the universe that I keep thinking, like, oh, wouldn't it just make more sense?
Yeah.
If he was just, like, a grad student that played too much World of Warcraft, because those exist. Like, he's not getting his work done on time. Those fucking exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Tangent again.
No, it's fine. We get some Sam Carter. Yay!
Yay! And the Daedalus.
It turns out that they have gotten to, you know, the location. And Telford's intel is good, so maybe Telford's not just fucking with them.
Right.
And
then Young is like, hey, buddy, you just stay here and feel... He's like, Rush is safe. What on earth makes Young think that Rush is safe over there?
Because he doesn't actually care. He assumes that Rush will squirrel his way out of it because he hates Rush, and he doesn't actually care if Rush dies.
See, you say that, but... He thinks it's Rush that comes through the gate when the Lucian Alliance comes over, and that's why he doesn't vent the air. But I also think maybe when he actually sees Telford's body there, it's harder for him to kill.
To actually kill Telford. Yeah. I don't understand why they didn't just break the fucking connection. I really don't. I mean, other than because the plot.
I think it's just because the plot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what bodily... reparation is he going to be able to do in someone else's body, you know? Like, oh, you just take it easy, buddy. You feel better. It's not his body to feel better in.
Well, yeah, after
just
Telford...
Just let him go back.
Telford had just said that, too. He was like, well, Rush is fine. We'll find out about me later.
Right.
Like Telford knows what's up, and Young is being some kind of fuckwit. Maybe he's just enjoying not fighting with Rush all the time.
Maybe. I kind of feel like I need to draw, like, one of those pictures that's sort of, like, Art Nouveau-esque with, like, little banners on it, like the mottos. And I want it to be, Young makes poor decisions.
Everett, poor life choices, Young.
Poor life choices. like little flowers behind yeah. him.
I don't know, you could do it like a photo manipulation, like one of those pet shaming things, like there's Young with a sign around his neck that says, "I try to kill people by accident."
Can't tell what real feelings are yeah. until murder.
Yeah. I don't know how to feelings, so I punch people.
That's, oh, actually, people do that with their kids, too. It's like toddler shaming.
Oh my god.
Anyways, so I like when Daedalus surveys the planet. O'Neill's like, "Oh, pyramids, that takes me back."
And yeah, and I'm like,
about it.
Literally, they might as well just be going, "Stargate, Stargate, Stargate, Stargate." Remember Stargate. How we're a Stargate show? Stargate, Stargate.
Well, I liked it because it's just like, it's true. We haven't seen a pyramid in like SG-1, probably like 5-6 seasons.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much took out most of the...
the Egyptian the theme stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was funny. I like that Eli, there's a nice callback of Eli watching the Daniel Jackson videos and finally paying attention to them.
Yeah, to be like, maybe this will tell me something.
Right? See, all he needs is a little bit of life-threatening circumstances to pay attention to videos that are boring.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if any of the past 4 months Eli had taken a fucking minute to be like, "Well, I've got nothing else to do, I guess I'll watch these and study in order to be more productive."
I don't feel like he ever had a moment of nothing else to do, though.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, I feel
I'm
like
sure that Rush would disagree with you on that.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that Rush probably... and he might have gotten this indication from Rush, too, is that sitting down and watching videos is not a productive use of his time. Go figure out this math problem for me.
Okay,
or
that's
go
true.
Look at this section. And I feel like Rush is pretty much a slave driver, and he already frowns on all of the Kino footage stuff. But Eli was vindicated with his Kino footage stuff in time.
Yeah, several times now, actually.
Yeah, his Kino manipulation is very, very useful.
Yeah.
Except when he gets lost.
A little bit. We get a very exciting, like, older version of a gate dialing.
Yeah.
Destiny drops them out of FTL, presumably because it knows the gate is going to dial. What's right. weird to me is they have this moment. That FTL drop should have switched Rush and Telford briefly.
And yeah, I wondered about that, too.
See none of it. Not even a moment. Not Telford coming back and being like, "Oh my god, I can see this many people coming through." Not,
right.
you know, Rush showing up and being like, "Don't let them fucking take my ship, kill me if you have to." Like, none of it.
It might have... No, I don't think it would have complicated the plot too much, because they still wouldn't have had enough time to really react.
Yeah.
And then maybe it would have confused them when Rush came through, and then... I don't know. What I'm also confused about with the Stargate thing is that it disrupted their communication, like their body switching. But in next season, don't they body switch and go through the gate to that other Icarus-type planet? The one where they try to, like, pretend to be official diplomats and steal the ship? I mean, steal the planet, essentially. Like, I think they've gone through Stargates.
Body switched before?
I mean, not before, after.
Oh, after.
In the next season.
I'm not sure.
Well, I know they do.
Yeah.
Because Colonel Young goes as some, I don't remember who.
Oh, okay.
To that Icarus-type planet.
Then Stargate Continuity Universe?
Or maybe they, who knows, they might have had like a throwaway line that were like, "Oh, we fixed that."
Oh, yeah. It's all better now, don't worry about
it. I mean, that was a high priority thing we had to fix.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody had time for that.
Yeah. I like that they call back to the first episode when they fall through the gate because of the speeds.
Yeah, they come just tumbling through.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy that.
Which, what I don't understand is why... Well, no, never mind, I take that all back. I was going to say why they don't have an iris or something.
Oh, like
Atlantis does,
and
but because
SG-1.
The ship is really freaking old, that's why.
Yeah, and I don't know if they had the scrap to make an iris, and I also don't think it's number one on their priority
well,
list.
Well, and, I mean, it took them so much trouble to get to the ship at all, they kind of didn't think anybody could get to them.
The only thing that they need, they should have had an iris for, that they should have tried to build for, is the Nekai, but the Nekai haven't come on via Stargate yet.
Yeah, the Nekai haven't tried to dial at all. Exactly. While they've been here.
So, I don't know.
There's this very interesting moment where Young's hand is pausing, getting ready to vent the atmosphere, as we were talking about, and it, you know, Brody is watching him, like, okay, can you do what you asked me to do? And the answer is, of course, no.
Right, because when it's David's body,
it's so much harder. It's much easier to kill Rush, not Telford. He's a good member of the Air Force, or whatever.
Brody's expressions were actually really neutral, like forced neutral. Like he was trying not to betray what he was actually feeling.
Yeah.
But I like that interpretation because it makes sense. Like, can Young do what he asked Brody to do?
Yeah.
And I wonder, I can't remember well enough if that carries through, if Brody chooses not to trust Young.
Yeah, we'll be forced to keep a close eye on Brody's motivations and actions, which will be a true hardship on both of us, I'm sure.
Such hardship. I mean, I'm so sick of talking about Brody. If only we had more Park. Anyways, so TJ and Young, right?
Yeah. TJ finds out that Rush has swapped.
Right. That's right.
In this whole attack, and it looks like it's permanent. Is that correct? Like it disrupts it, and they're just back in their bodies.
They're just back in their bodies. Yeah.
Jesus.
So I guess the Stargate. They don't really address why.
That's convenient.
Convenient. Yes. Maybe it's because the communication stones are like they're next to each other. What? Why? Why do we need to do this?
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's only that they're close to one another.
Yeah.
And the communication stones are like, oh.
Maybe it, like, canceled
out. I don't let you use this to spy on your teacher.
Right. There you go. It had, like, an inbuilt ethics module. maybe. I don't know. Anyways, civilians all run and hide. Young is interesting to me because all these people are willing to sacrifice for the greater good. And Young is incapable of doing it. Always. Yeah. And yet
he was willing to shoot civilians. He was willing to, like...
Right. It's weird. Because I'm thinking, like, he gives Telford so much shit for what Telford, to me, is very believable. Even when he was a mole, saying, like, those people died because we had to protect my cover. And it's the greater good in that case. And Young is like, fuck you. And then he's like, I'll vent the atmosphere.
Yeah. Entirely enemy combatants except for one person,
right,
who already said, like, switch me back, throw me into the frying pan, I don't care.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Young is about as readable as, like, the Vonnegut manuscript. It's impassable.
Yeah, I don't know, his motivations are all over the place. I'm not super impressed with him this season, this episode in particular.
Well, he's emotional. I mean, we've discussed this. Emotional and rational are not the same.
Yeah.
And while sometimes he makes decisions I understand or agree with, but don't agree with as much as I agree with Rush's decisions, like, they're all understandable decisions.
Yeah.
You know what we've missed? We missed where Scott talks to him. He's like, hey, you should have let me know about the brainwashing.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck you, I should not let you know, like, you should take orders because you're military.
Which is, like...
It's not right, actually.
It's not right. It's not any good way to talk to, like, someone who's been as loyal to you as Scott is.
Right.
Right? Well, like, if Scott had a constant problem, constantly questioning...
Right.
Then maybe you're like, this time I just needed you to shut up and listen, Matthew.
Right.
But, like...
The thing is...
No! Like, Scott's been so loyal to him.
And actually, soldiers have a duty to disobey bad orders. Saying I was under orders is not protected by the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
So, Scott would have supported you if you said it. So it makes me think that he didn't come to that conclusion until, like, the very end.
Yeah, maybe he really did just want to kill Rush and Telford. And
right.
Oops, I thought he might be brainwashed. I tried my best. If he really wanted to try his best, he would have had TJ there to try and revive Telford at the end, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of doing it himself.
I don't know. Young baby. You're so hard. Anyways, Kiba comes in and she's all pissed because she lost 100 men. So I'm like, oh, she cares a little bit.
Yeah, she cares about numbers anyway.
Yeah, because she wants to, like, win.
Yeah.
Then they begin to, like, set up, like, the door on jammers. I wrote Young's military plan sucks.
Yep.
Rush runs away and TJ rushes after Rush.
It's a rush. A classic.
Classic rush. Riley gets shot in the head. He's so fucking lucky. He hasn't died yet this season, and he's gotten really beaten up.
Yeah, poor Riley.
We should get him a red shirt. That's what he is.
Yeah, it's sad. Is that always true of young Air Force officers?
I mean, Air Force tends to be the one with the lesser death rate.
No, I mean in Stargate specifically.
Oh, I don't know.
I know there is a fair amount of Chair Force, which is a bit safer. though counteracted by the danger of flying planes, so, you know.
Yeah, but Air Force is largely Chair Force. Like, the amount of pilots versus all
I have friends in the Air Force who call it that. No one get mad at me. I have the highest respect for the armed forces.
I hate to be one of those, like, I have friends in the Air Force, it's fine. But I'm also, like, but I do know that the amount of logistics people far outnumbers the actual people on the ground. Or in the air, as you will. Because you have radar and drone operators and, you know, fuelers and mechanics.
Yeah. There's a lot of support that goes into keeping one of those machines flying. Presumably even more support that goes into putting people through Stargates in the future.
Well, I was thinking, like, airmen... Well, not the future. It's happening now. God.
Oh, right. I mean, in 2013.
But the airmen in the Stargate program, though, their chances of death are a lot higher, seeing as I think it gets invaded, like, once a season.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I seem to think. Anyways, Chloe has way better instincts than Eli. Is like, we need to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then she gets shot because of it.
And I think that may be, I mean, it may be partially, like, Eli's video gamer, right? Like, there's, when the only time you've ever been in combat is on a computer, then the one time you're in it in real life, you're kind of going to react with those combat instincts. And, like, okay, maybe I need to stay here and assess the situation for a second.
I mean, Chloe doesn't have any combat instincts.
Yeah, her instincts are run away.
But she nailed it. She nailed it. TJ gets kidnapped, rushing after Rush. Very amused by this. He looks like he is really, really torn because, as we know, TJ is one of his favorite crew members.
Yeah.
From basically the very beginning. But Brody basically solves that for him. I think Brody just steps in and is like, you know, don't make a stupid choice. Closes door, saves his life. You're welcome.
Yeah.
He's because kind that's, of unconcerned about TJ Brody.
That's
is.
How Brody works. Well, and also, I mean, TJ's military. And also, like,
she's pregnant, which makes it less likely.
It's less likely that she's going to get killed if they're, like, normal humans with any kind of sympathies.
Oh, but it's Kiva. It's Kiva.
It's Kiva who isn't, but they don't know that. Right.
I wanted someone to be like, dude, the kid's youngs. Because I think that would make Kiva think twice before shooting it. Because I think if you take away something from Young, he will go fucking batshit.
Yeah, but it would be hard to convince. I don't think that would be something, like, I don't think angering Young would be something Kiva would be worried about.
Oh, well, maybe. Right? I mean, not that I want to lose TJ, but if TJ died there, he would have vented that room so fucking fast.
Oh, yeah. It would have been over.
It would have been done.
Yep.
There was so, and I think Telford knew that.
Because there's two sides. There's like, no, he's going to be so mad at you and he's going to go crazy. Or there's, he's going to be so demoralized and emotionally compromised that he won't be able to lead anymore.
Well, Kiva doesn't know that when when Young gets hurt, he lashes out at everything.
Yeah. Well, violently. Yeah. And she wouldn't believe anybody.
I mean, like, she should know because Telford has been reporting to her, and surely he's reported to her that Young came back just to punch me in the face. He's so pissed. Like, he could get in serious trouble for that. He would lose his command.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to switch the command out. You just permanently use a communication stone.
Yeah, which they've already talked about trying to do, right?
And O'Neill talks about doing here in this episode as well. O'Neill is, like, up to here with Young.
Yeah, he's just had it. And I would, too, after, like, you know.
He's like, you had a chance
to. Everything yesterday, and then, like, Rush Telford getting kidnapped and all this shit.
Well,
like,
and it's not even just that. It's pretty much every interaction before that. Even, like, the first episode, he's like, suck it up.
Yeah.
Do it. Like O'Neill is just done.
Yeah. Well, and for whatever reason, like, I don't know what Young's career in the SGC was like before this.
Yeah.
But clearly he's now on this, like, well, but I was supposed to stop and go home, and I don't want to be here. But now that I'm here, why are people questioning my authority?
Right.
It's like, well, maybe they're questioning your authority because you were vocal about not wanting to be there.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't think O'Neill ever said that, but that is
no,
a good
he
point.
Didn't. But, like, it's all, I think to him, like, this whole situation is like, okay, you're not doing what I would have done, but I trust you to do the right thing. And he did a lot of, like, pep talks, like, you can do this, you'll be fine. And then Young continued to be a whiner, and you're right, he's just had it.
I think, though, Young, to give credit to Young, I think he is actually fairly good at rallying most of the crew.
Oh, he is.
What he doesn't like to do is share authority, which makes sense. He's military, and that is what caused him the majority of his problems because of Ray and Rush.
Yeah. Which I guess means that he wasn't, trained in any way to work with civilian oversight.
Well, I mean, that's actually a very common. If what I've read in the news is correct, it's a really common problem of military and civilian leadership working together.
Okay.
Especially if you're an older military guy.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Well, anyways, Eli does a really good medic by tourniqueting Chloe's leg like 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he looks very distressed, and they're all alone in some part of the store.
And that's where we learn that elevators go side to side. It's a little bit like Willy Wonka.
Well, that would make sense, because the ship's longer than it is tall.
Yeah, it does make sense. It'd be kind of cool if they were, like, those vacuum tubes, like, at banks.
Yeah. There was some... Oh, never mind. We're not going to get into that conversation.
Okay.
Oh, I was having a conversation with someone about people moving through vacuum tubes like that, but...
Oh, that'd be fun.
So
Kiva takes the radio from Riley and radios Young.
Yeah.
At this point, Earth doesn't know if Destiny's been infiltrated or not.
Yeah. O'Neill knows nothing. He's clearly not happy about it.
Right.
This
is one of Kiva's badass lines, by the way, where she's like, I will not be complying with your request to surrender. Kiva out. Drop radio.
And mic drop.
And then I'm going to shoot this floaty ball thing that Bulger put there earlier.
How do they know what a Kino is?
I think she just saw some floaty ball
something thing move and decided to shoot it for fun.
Right. That's what I was thinking as well. But I felt like Bulger would have just left the ball. Like, I saw him setting it up. And it was just, like, a railing.
Yeah, it looked like it was attached to something.
Right.
So, I mean,
and
maybe
Kinos don't have cameras. Like, they do, but you don't see
it. Like, not them visibly. Yeah, yeah, it just looks like a piece of...
circular metal.
Yeah. Unless somebody got dumb and decided to move it.
I don't know.
For a better angle or something.
Anyways, we go back to the control room.
Yeah, Rush asks why they didn't vent the freaking
And Volker is like, we were trying to save you, man. And Rush is like, so? And that brings Volker up so short.
Yeah. Well, and Rush is like, it wasn't even me. So, as usual, Volker just immediately backs down, and Young is just there like, well, I can't talk about it.
Right.
Tell me what's going on. Rush is now immediately back in the game. Like,
Yeah.
Is like, here, let me show you this layout of destiny and where everything is and da 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 da.
Right.
I'm like, well, doesn't he, like, why are you so good?
He immediately goes into military mode, too, and he, like, talks about acceptable losses. Because mm-hmm. he says, like, Young should be thinking about those. And Young goes on this huge fuck you speech about it. And I'm like, hold on a second, Young. I mean, yeah. I may not be in the military, but I am well aware of the acceptable losses clause. Not clause, but that tenet that concept, of thinking.
Collateral damage is a real thing.
Yeah, you don't go into any battle thinking everyone's going to come out alive.
And half an hour ago, you were willing to sacrifice your chief scientist and an Air Force colonel.
Yeah.
And then you weren't willing to sacrifice either of them when it would save possibly, you know, all 50 or 60 lives that are on your ship.
I desperately want to call up the head writer for SGU and just interview them about Young. Because I don't actually think it's as inconsistent as we think it is. I think there is some underlying concept that's pinning Young together, and we're just fundamentally not getting it. Maybe. Because that's how people work, is sometimes you just don't understand another person.
Yeah, that's true. If I thought they would remember anything about this show.
Like, you sit them down and make them watch it.
Like, here, I need, like, 30 hours of your life. Just sit here. Okay,
let's talk about this. Let's do a 3-hour interview about Young. That no one will read.
Dear writers of SGU, if you're listening to this, we'd be totally up for doing an interview with you if you remember anything.
And we also apologize for saying anything mean. I do, as a writer, I know how fucking hard it is to write and keep track of things. But I also know how easy it is to step back and critique something. So still think you're amazing, writers of SGU.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Back to this.
So Rush is a much better tactical leader than Young. We are entirely unsurprised.
Right.
We have another little bit of Eli and Chloe. Chloe comes back around and...
I know that Rey wants to negotiate, but her plan doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, as usual, Rey's plan revolves pretty heavily on people being willing to negotiate, being willing to, like, work with her.
And feeling beholden to mutual civility.
And, yeah.
And Kiva's not that.
Kiva's definitely not that. Like, negotiating with Kiva would not have worked.
Well, I mean, we already know it doesn't work because
yeah.
It doesn't in the next episode. And Rey is surprised by that. And I was like, oh, it kind of frustrates me because I think Rey is right most of the time. I think negotiation is what you should be doing. And yeah. The one time she's allowed to do it was the wrong time.
Yeah,
and it's exactly. Almost like Young wanted her to fail.
Well, of course he did. Because he needs her authority. In the long game, he needs her authority to be undermined as much as his is.
I don't think he's thinking long game right now, though.
I think maybe he just wanted somebody else to be responsible for something going pear-shaped.
That's what I think.
Yep, okay, there you go.
Well, then Kiva starts to choose prisoners, TJ amongst them, and Telford's like, don't, I know Young. That will piss him off.
Yeah.
Which could and have been a willing, self-preservation move.
She's willing to listen to Telford, sorry. There's so much weird angles of, like, Telford trying to keep himself alive, the prisoners trying to keep themselves alive. The Lucian Alliance feel like they're the underdogs who deserve to be here.
Right. They are the ones on the right, yeah.
Yeah, it's very odd.
But, I mean, obviously they don't, because they don't know how Stargates work. Like, that one guy who got, like, burned to death by the steam.
Yeah.
Like, everyone who's in the Stargate program knows that shit is hot. Like, why were you over by the vents?
Yeah, like, you were swinging your gun around to check if somebody was randomly hiding behind the gate, like...
Behind the gate that is, yeah, like, you know, see-through? You can see through the gate when it's closed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
not everyone in the Lucian Alliance can be smart. What can I say?
I mean, I guess only Varro can be. So, Rey radios and is like, hey, let's do our hostage swap that helps us in no fucking way whatsoever other than getting 4 people back.
Yeah, which is... It's so... it's like she's working from, like, Negotiator 101 without considering, like, there's no backup coming.
Right.
That's going to be able to swoop in and help them eliminate these Lucian Alliance people or lock them in prison or anything like that. There's no way, even if they do, like, let's say they negotiate a ceasefire, there's no way to, like, say, okay, you guys stay on that end of the ship and we'll stay over here. Like,
right.
The kind of negotiations that she's doing are just entirely non-functional
right.
in this kind of situation. And you already said it. It's very frustrating that the one time Rey gets to do the thing she's good at is just an untenable situation.
Right. Like, nothing was going to work. And Young often says it's to save, not save time, but to make time for himself.
Yeah.
Because somehow he magically knows Telford has a plan.
Yeah, because somehow now he and Telford are,
like, psychically connected.
Best bros and know everything about how they're going to react and all that shit. Like,
I don't, when we get to Telford, like, breaking in and them not shooting him when he goes through the door, like, oh, wait, no, that's not true. They're following his console signature. So, Young is just assuming that Telford is purposely accessing consoles so they can keep track of where he is.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Never mind.
Which could be true or could be not true. Like, at the same time, how do they have traceable, like, console signatures that he could tell is David's versus not?
What I'm assuming, though, is that most of the consoles are, like, they're not ancient consoles, they're
SGC consoles that they brought?
Right, and you would probably have to sign in every time you used a console. That's what I'm assuming. Because I don't think everyone
How out of date ancient. Must his password be? Oh, no, because he was just on the ship.
Yeah, okay. And they only found out he was a traitor, like, 6 hours ago.
Yeah.
I mean, SGC security is pretty lax anyways.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I do like that Rush during all of this is like, okay, so we are, you know, buying time with this stupid negotiation.
Yeah, and so what are we buying time for? We're gambling
our lives hoping that Telford's a good guy.
Yeah.
And that's like the first time Young is like, oh, good point.
Yeah. I don't know. How does it get to the point where, like, that's the only time Young is noticing?
I don't know.
Is when Rush, like, puts it right in front of him, like, you realize that you're just relying on Telford not being an actual traitor or a good enough liar to have tricked you, right?
Yeah.
Oops.
Whoops. So, I guess, next, Eli is still carrying Chloe around. Then TJ is introduced to her future love interest, Varro. She must save him. I'm a little pissed that Telford told Kiva that she's a medic. I think he was doing it to save her, but I'm like, oh, that gave her too much power.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because he's more terrified of what will happen if TJ does die, what Young will do.
And it's one of those things, right? Of like, okay, how much information do you just give away?
Right. I mean, if she was clearly willing to shoot a pregnant lady, he needed to put some sort of protection in there.
Yeah. And TJ in a lot of ways is a better actor than Telford in this, where she's like, I'm just gonna play like I'm a dumb medic. He's really badly injured. Wah wah.
Well, I mean, but that doesn't work on Kiva because
no, of course not. Nothing even Rush works was on
like,
Kiva.
I can't, like, you have no idea what any of these equations say, so I'm just gonna tell you that these are really messed up. And she's like, oh, are they? Shoot the other guy. Just to make a point. Like, she just doesn't believe anyone is less than the best, essentially.
Which, I don't know. It's,
seems like a poor plan to me.
Yeah, I mean, you've gotta, when you have a, if she lost 100 men, right?
Right.
Let's assume 10% of those were the best 10%.
Yeah.
And that must be, like, there's always gonna be less dedicated, less smart, less ambitious people in the world. Military dictators count on that.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm assuming that everyone she had is the best of the best. But she didn't bring a doctor over?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, next conversation is the O'Neill one that we discussed.
Yeah.
Then Telford and his buddies go and try and cut through poor Destiny. And I feel so bad for Destiny. It's already beat up.
Yeah, this ship, man. Like, and we see just how, like, abused and broken parts of it are.
Yeah, and more so now. Rush realizes there's no countdown, which I think is a plot point, but I can't remember. Like, why has the ship stopped? Once the Stargate stopped, it should have gone into FDL again.
Exactly. Which means, like, what did Destiny think was actually happening?
I don't know. I mean, do they address it later? I can't remember.
Well, we will find out together.
It's funny how many times we've both seen this, and we still can't remember all the details.
Yeah, it's... I mean, there's so much going on at any given point that, you know, they change their minds about one thing. And so many people kind of vacillate back and forth on opinions or behaviors or whatever.
Well, let's talk about the next scene that I'm the most confused about. When Telford and the men try to go break through, and this one guy basically seems to die from UV whatever. And,
space radiation.
Right. And somehow Telford... So there's about three things I'm confused about. One, Telford, after everyone leaves, is like, okay, well, it must be safe for me to go in the same exact area where a guy is. Two... why Telford is so concerned about making sure Kiva knows he didn't kill the guy that was incurring. Because, like, what the fuck? They were invading. They were breaking the truce that they had at the moment. So why is he being like, Kiva, I didn't do it, I didn't do it.
Well, because he's the only one that knows how nuts she is, right?
Right.
He knows that he is on the thinnest of ice.
Right, no, but that just broadcasts to her how thin the ice is, that he has to apologize for someone dying trying to take the control room.
Yeah, and I would think, honestly, that, like, I agree with you. Like, it seems, very odd behavior, and it seems like, to me, Kiva would more respect somebody being like, he was a fucking idiot, he didn't pay attention to the environment, he died.
Why is even Kiva pissed at all? Like, she must have known that people were gonna die being sent over there.
Maybe she's, like, young. Maybe she also thought that everyone would live and she would save all the hostages and it would be fine.
That's bullshit, because she shoots some of her own people.
Yeah, she's a badass, but her characterization is inconsistent sometimes.
Well, so's young.
Yeah, and so's young, and so's Telford, and everybody. Right.
Well, in any case, Eli and Chloe, more walking and talking.
Yep, and then, as usual.
And then Young, after apologizing to Kiva for something that makes sense, is like, okay, we'll send medical supplies, even though both of them are against doing it. But I think it's because of TJ.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe all of Young's kind of soft spots can be explained by TJ.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really particularly like that either.
Right.
So yeah, I love that, like, I don't know. Episode is kind of dumb.
Well, see, that's the thing about action episodes that I've learned in my history of podcasting television shows, is that the ones with the most action, when you pick them apart... they're the most plot holy, I guess.
Well, and that's true of films too, right?
Right?
Like, the Star Trek movies with the most action are the most like, wait, what actually just happened? Let's think about this.
Except Khan. Khan is amazing.
Well, okay, yeah, but Into Darkness did not survive to also be amazing.
No, Into Darkness had a lot of weird inconsistencies. But, like, it's like, even though you, like, try and, like, step back and get everything in, like, there's always things that get missed. Or you think are heavily implied that the audience should get, but don't. So,
yeah.
That happens frequently.
Yeah.
And it seems like SGU's the same, because we find a whole lot less to complain about plot-wise on the more character-driven episodes.
Yeah, well, and that's, in a lot of ways, like, that's why I... would have been fine without this whole Lucian Alliance arc, but I know we already talked through a lot of that.
I would have loved... Well, that's actually my final thoughts. Do you want to move on to final thoughts?
I mean, yeah, there's basically
that's
a little bit
more
of... yeah, everybody being not sure what's going on, and it's definitely a bit cliffhangery.
Yeah. But so that's why it leads into my final thoughts, which were really my first thoughts of this podcast, which is I would love the Lucian Alliance incursion storyline if, A, this is from our last podcast, they made it more evident that it was going to happen in the previous episodes, especially with Telford's Molinus. And then two, if they actually went through with the new crew dynamic and character and create character-driven episodes based on the Lucian Alliance not being trusted.
Yeah, I mean, and more than, who do they really end up keeping? They end up keeping...
Varro.
Varro, and that's it?
He's the only, Jin, but then Jin dies, twice. Yeah. So, because they had the one that, betrays them. And then basically almost all of them die during that. But if they had more than just Varro, because Voyager had Taurus and Chakotay,
Yeah.
And technically, and I love this dynamic with, what's the Vulcan's name again? Tim Rice's character. Tuvok. Because Tuvok was technically a spy in the Maquis, even though he's Federation.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of interesting stuff about the Maquis being fuck you, dude. You were a spy. You were one of us.
Yeah, you're the worst of the worst here.
Right. So, that was so fascinating. And to have Telford with the Lucian Alliance that'd be so, 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 so cool.
Well, and, I mean, here you've got these two fantastic actors for Rush and Telford.
Right.
Why didn't they do more of, they could have switched them back sooner and had Telford trying to play at being a spy again. There could have been some really interesting stuff going on.
Right.
And instead we had explosions and people dying in UV light and
Stargate
spoofs.
If people are watching Stargate Universe, we're not really watching it for explosions.
I think that they didn't know that.
That's true. That is a good point. I mean, Leverage had that same problem too, right? Where they didn't know what people wanted from that show.
Yeah, and that's... with that show, if you can make it to season 5, then you're they figured it out.
Yeah.
4 and 5 are both pretty good that way. But with this show, it didn't get the chance to get that far. They told people it was a Stargate. It wasn't really a Stargate series in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just us versus them and let's meet some new aliens every week and whatever.
Right.
I do like Kiva's costume.
Yeah.
But...
supposedly
that's
that
neither
actress
here nor there. Sorry.
Was what Laura Croft was based off of.
Who?
Laura Croft for Tomb Raider.
Oh, I know who Laura Croft is. Who is what she was based off of?
Kiva.
Kiva's,
the actress is a model originally.
Oh.
I don't know. God, names escape me tonight.
I can see that.
Yeah. I learned that from the commentary.
Oh, interesting.
But, what do you think the season finale would be if we didn't have the Lucian Alliance?
I mean, you do something really big, right? You do a... honestly, they could have saved the... oh no, Scott and Chloe and Eli are trapped, and we need to get the master code, two or three episodes.
Yeah. No, you're right.
To the
I would
end
have been
here.
Really...
right,
because
we were on the edge of our seats. We thought people were dead, and then we thought Greer was all alone on this planet, and then somebody brought him back. There was a lot of good stuff happening.
Really,
with that.
Well, I think part of the issue is at least that might have worked in the other Stargates because you had humanoids to interact with.
Yeah,
but I think part of the issue was they you couldn't have Greer alone on a planet trying to get back because who would he talk to other than his dead dad?
Yeah.
And
they could have found a humanoid civilization.
Well, I thought they solved that brilliantly in the second season, and I'm so pissed that they just, destroyed it. When they accidentally go into the past and then start an entire human civilization, that was so fucking cool to me. I would have loved it, because then you would have had a human interaction.
It's freaking Stargate. They could have done that in the end of this season with no explanation.
Right.
Here's these people living as though it's, the 1200s.
Right.
And they don't know their own history.
Right.
And they just know they've always been here.
Yeah, and then you wouldn't find out until the middle of second season how all that came to happen.
Yeah, well, and you could have had a very similar incursion type
right
issue where, like, maybe that whole civilization decides, no, like, you guys have a way better life than us. We're going to take your ship.
Right.
Like, they, you know, and they...
Or you could even still have the Illusion Alliance come and, like, and then, like, expel them to a planet, but at a bad time, so they actually went into the past. And
could totally all happen.
But I don't think they even thought about the ancestors, the descendants thing until the next
season. Yeah, I assume they didn't know.
Yeah.
Because
you really only do it, like, season by season.
Which is why I'm like, just don't explain it. It's Stargate. Just make there be a planet with people that look like humans.
Right.
No one cares. Like, that's more Stargate than, ooh, yay, action and people coming through to attack things.
I mean, I think Stargate is a little bit better. I mean, Universe is a little bit better about explaining those things. And
yes.
Honestly, the other Stargates do explain how people got to, like, the Pegasus galaxy.
They do. I know. I'm being a jerk.
I'm like, okay, I'm the first to make fun of Stargate all the time, but I have to be a little fair.
But anyway, yeah, so...
So I guess our final thoughts is we're not really crazy about this as a season finale.
I remember being very worried about it the first time through.
Right.
I was very dismayed for TJ, and I was very annoyed with Young, because I was still on board this, like, who gives a crap about Telford?
Right.
And they have to go through all this rigmarole to get rid of him in four or five episodes anyway.
Right, the very twisted way to get rid of him.
So, like, why not just have vented the atmosphere in Hepville, because you wouldn't have a part two.
Right. I mean, I remember watching this the first time with you, and I was enjoying it, and I was pretty on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
It is actually much better than we're making it sound. I don't mean to be down on...
Yeah, but
the product or the show, like, the acting is still great.
We're a critical podcast, though. Like, the whole point of this is to talk about what we like and what we don't like and try and figure out what.
And this is not what I'm in the show for.
Right.
And it would have been totally justified if we were meeting, you know, not just Kiva and Varro, who's mostly dead, but maybe we're meeting four or five different, like, people that stand up to Kiva in different ways or have different specializations, and they all stick around.
The payoff's not there.
They're also, I mean, they're not building up Gin at all.
No, she just
Right, they just
random.
Add Gin as one of the people we kept from Illusion Alliance.
Well, she's a relatively, I'm not going to say, like, a hugely expensive actress, but she's a higher pay grade actress.
Okay.
Because she, well, no, maybe not this time she wasn't, because I don't know, when was she in Supernatural?
Well, but, so let's, you know, forget about that. So maybe they pick some other woman.
Right.
Like, female character, and have her doing something, or have her being Kiva's second in command, or whatever it is. Like, get us attached to that person.
It comes down to is we just don't like the payoff of this episode.
Yeah.
Like, because there seems to me there should be tons more. Kind of like how we believe that there should be a lot more scientists.
Yes.
But we just keep getting Young and Rush, which we both agree is fascinating. But, like, I want to know more about Volker Park and Brody.
Well, and there's so many other people on this
I need
ship,
Ray to
right?
have stories that aren't just about Sharon. Like, those are important stories. But where are, like, Ray's only other story is the coup. Which Rush basically takes over. So she's barely even a part of it.
Well, and I think in the case of her, I know I just said ignore actresses, but I think Ming-Na was not full-time on the show.
Right. Well, I mean, she's billed as a lead actor, but...
Oh, okay. Well, so maybe.
She's not, like, and including...
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at the credits and, like, all these people have names. Every person in Illusion Alliance has a name.
Right.
That goes with them, and, like, we don't hear any of them called by that.
Nope.
We don't hear... You know, we would care a lot more about those other 8 hostages besides TJ and Riley.
Right, if we
knew... We knew their names.
And how? We barely care about Riley because we don't know, because Riley was gone for a while.
Yeah, Riley is just Eli's friend.
Right, and he doesn't become important until they kill him next season.
Which, and then he's only important for the emotional trauma that he does to Young.
Because Young needs more emotional
trauma. we need to know more about Young's deep, dark
Young needs more
issues.
Things to be mad at Rush about. Like, Rush is wrong. Like, he fucked up. Like, he never meant to kill Riley, so I'm not going to be pissed at him, but, like, he fucked up hardcore. But Yeah, I was just like, I don't need more Rush and Young being mad at each other.
Like, and if we do, can it go on in the background? Like, where's the one,
right,
like, emotional break episode where it's like, from the point of view of, you know, like,
right,
the of meth Matt. Cook or whatever, right. Like, here's my day. I wake up, I walk past Young and Rush screaming at each other. I don't care because it doesn't affect me until someone tells me what to do.
That's actually a really great Star Trek episode, Data's Day.
Yeah.
Where it's told completely from his perspective and you get to see, like, all the minutiae, like haircuts and buying birthday presents and learning how to dance. And, ah, I love Data's Day. Such a good episode. And you get to see Gates McFadden dance.
Before we continue talking about other shows
that we wish that Stargate was
pay off their characters a little better than this one is about to.
Oh man, Dana,
where can they
payoff.
Find us on the internet, Boom?
They can find us at sgupodcast.tumblr.com, and personally, you can find me at boomslovingthealien.tumblr.com. How about you, Cetra?
I'm at Cetralyn, cetralynn.tumblr.com. Also, that if it's not about German buses, I'm probably Cetra if I'm on a live journal, a dream with a Google or whatever.
Cool.
So,
all right, everybody.
So we'll see you not an entire month from now for Incursion Part 2.
Yay! Bye.
Yay! Bye.